B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's hour two, Agenda Free Friday. Driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Maz, who do you think of all the leagues that are trying to figure out how to get back and what form it will take? Who do you think is going to get it right, or who do you have the most confidence in?
I mean, to me, it's the NBA. I have more faith in the NBA's ability to figure this thing out and set some sort of standard than I do any other group. And I don't know if it's Silver, the owners, maybe some input from the players or a combination of all three, but I feel like the NBA is the most progressive league. And then beyond that, I feel like they're the most prepared league. They feel to me like the one league that talks about stuff before it happens so that they know what to do when it happens. The rest of them, I feel like, are flying by the seat of their pants.
I also think it's the sport that involves the smallest numbers and is therefore the most manageable.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And also, when you compare it to hockey, it's not as dependent, basketball is, not as dependent on gate revenue, on ticket sales. They have better TV contracts. They're a bigger TV sport. And they make more from ABC and ESPN than the NHL does from NBC. And so I think that it's more worth the NBA's while just to stage a product in an empty building. They're more able to do it in an empty building because their numbers are smaller. Okay, so I think that they have the benefit of those things, and on top of, I think, the most competent and forward-thinking commissioner. According to CNBC, the business channel, I don't know what their sources are, Mark Cuban, but according to their sources, here's what they say that they're looking at. They're looking at Vegas being a huge player in this.
I love this.
And so if the season can't resume... I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead. Okay. Maz, would you talk for 1 second while I effing fumble around and try and find out where I was?
Yeah, sure. Of course. No problem. To me, there are a number of things that the league already has in place. And as much as you say, Mike, that they have smaller numbers, I also think that their creative thinking, though, and their willingness to change shows up in other areas. For example, we talked about the pace of play problem and the issues that a lot of these sports now have with commercial breaks and things of the like. And I always feel like the NBA is way ahead of the curve when it comes to making changes on this sort of stuff. It's like they understand what the problem is, they're ready for it when it actually becomes an issue, and then they act. Whereas the other leagues always seem to be a step behind. Baseball, forget it. They're not even a step behind. Baseball's not even in the picture. Like, they're not even on the screen, for crying out loud, when it comes to this stuff. But yeah, football, hockey, I feel like they all lag behind the NBA when it comes to these things that are a little bit more fan-friendly, and they're conscious of what is important for the fan.
Okay, sorry. Lost my temper there. At myself. As usual. God, that's annoying. I put this all out. I cut and pasted. I put it on my sheet, and then I can't find it.
You didn't highlight.
Oh, my God. I didn't highlight it, Murray. That's the problem. Anyway, here's a story from CNBC, as I was saying. If the NBA does return, team executives told CNBC they favored Las Vegas as a possible location to conclude the season. And media expert agreed, adding the decision could help the NBA retain some of its revenue domestically and perhaps in China, where they got thumped this year, even before the coronavirus, because of what Daryl Morey there in Houston with that one tweet in the preseason that killed him. China pulled a bunch of business off the table. So they still have to recoup in China. But anyway, they would all convene in Vegas. An NBA spokesperson told CNBC the league has considered many scenarios, but is not close to rolling out a plan. When asked if the NBA would pick up where it left off or jump into the postseason, Silver said he didn't have a good enough sense of how long a period this is going to be to give a definite answer. But sources say the NBA could decide to cancel the remainder of the regular season and create a play-in tournament for lower-seeded teams to enter the postseason. The league would then set up a best-of-five series for the first round before moving to a one-and-done tournament to determine two teams that will play in the NBA Finals. That would then be a best of five, people familiar with the planning have said. The tournament and NBA Finals would be held in Las Vegas at the Thomas and Mack Center and Cox Pavilion, where the league hosts its annual summer league events. Okay, so let me just start with Vegas and one spot. Great idea.
Fine.
Perfect.
I mean, if that's what it takes, believe me, I'd rather have games in the Boston Garden and the Staples Center in L.A. But if we can't do that, it's not feasible to do that. If the option is no basketball or basketball in one spot in Las Vegas, give me the one spot in Las Vegas, okay? And Vegas apparently has had a low incidence of outbreak. Or Nevada or Vegas has not been a hot spot. And I don't know if that's climate related or what. But I thought I had heard that at some point along the way. So you pick a spot that's not in a hot spot, and you just do that for peace of mind, if anything. And because what you're really doing is creating this bubble, quarantining everybody, testing everyone who would be in that building, right? The players, the coaches, the refs, the trainers, whatever cameramen that you need to let in, whatever technical people you need to let in. Let's just say, can you stage a basketball game in an empty building with just 100 people in there? All right, there's 24 players. There's, four refs, three refs. How many,
and that's a number that 100? You can control. I don't think that's too big of a number at
all. It's just a guess. All right, so you can do it with 100 people. And then you quarantine those 100 people for however long this takes, 2, 3, 4 weeks. And it kind of sucks. You'd have to have maybe you make exceptions for wives and children, and they're tested too, and everyone's in this bubble. And Lord knows, in Vegas, between their convention space and hotels, you should be able to have a specific quarantined hotel, a specific quarantine transportation to and from a specific quarantine building. Don't you think?
Yeah, especially now. It's not like business is booming for them. You can clean up that building, have it as sterilized as you possibly can, and have
everything
it ready
works.
To go.
And you test everybody, and after 2 weeks or whatever that, the doctors say you all clear, then those teams are all clear, that group is all clear, and they go. It's a big undertaking, but again, if the option is no basketball or that, I'm taking that. The thing about this, the whole mechanics of the tournament, though, I do wonder. So there's a play-in tournament for the lower-seeded teams. All right, I get it. If there's 8-9s that are battling, the Pelicans are just outside the 8 in the West. You want them to play their way in. Give them a chance. Give them a couple games to play their way in. Fine. Then there's a best-of-5 first round before moving to a one-and-done tournament to determine the two teams that will play in the NBA Finals. So the first round is 5 games as a series. The second and third rounds are one and done?
That feels ass backwards to me.
And then the finals is 5 games. Go ahead.
I feel the same way. To me, it feels ass backwards. I don't mind, let's do one and done early where the ones are playing the 8s after you have the play-in round. And then when you get to the – I told you, if possible, I'd prefer the conference finals and the finals in all sports to be – series. And again, I said 7 ideally, but if that's eliminated, then obviously you go to 5. But to me, that's the way it should be.
Are they doing a first round of 5 games to serve as a warm-up, to serve as a tune-up, to serve as, instead of a regular season, a little mini season there to get up to speed, we'll let the Bucks thump the whatever, the
Detroit or whoever the
Orlando Magic for 2 games, and that's their warm-up before they get to the one and done. Right?
Maybe.
Yeah. But it does seem ass backwards. The first round, 5 games. Then the conference semifinals and finals is one and done. I mean, those will be ballsy games. I mean, that'll be, great theater. And then the finals goes to 5. I don't know. That just feels like...
Maybe do best of 3?
Who came up with that idea? Yeah, that just feels weird to me.
The one and done that early feels... It's too brutal. Like, someone's going to get completely screwed there.
And because there's no home court, it's like you've... But again, these are not perfect conditions, but, whatever advantage the Lakers and Clippers and Bucks and Raptors were going to have having home games, they're gone because you're playing in front of nobody at the Cox Pavilion in Vegas. But so be it. That's, what are you going
to
do?
We all got to adjust. It is what it is.
But when you do that, you take away the home court and then you go to a one-off, it's like totally wide open.
Yeah.
Completely wide open, which is, again, whatever it takes to me to get this in, I would do. And so if this is what it takes, this is what it takes. But the NBA, this doesn't quite work the same way for hockey. Let me just tell you that. Because money-wise, they don't make enough TV money to go through all these hoops just to recoup the TV money. I don't know if the TV money is there. The TV money is there in the NBA.
Now think of where they've put some of these playoff games in the past versus like these networks. They're like, what the hell am I trying to find this
well,
on?
But
like,
it's just more determined on the gate in the NHL. Yeah, their TV contract isn't as big. They don't have China. You know, they don't have that. The NBA does. The NBA can just stage a made-for-TV TV show and recoup a bunch of revenue. Hockey doesn't really work that way. And I think they're going to be more reluctant to go to these empty buildings. I would also say, let me ask you this. Of all the sports, of all the things that you want them to preserve, what's number one? NFL draft, NFL free agency, the Major League Baseball season, the NBA season, the NHL season, what the Masters, the Kentucky Derby. What's the number one thing you want them to preserve?
So I would say NHL playoffs to me are the best watch, and obviously I think it's where Boston has the most invested. But nationally, if I divest myself from it, the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, I'm just so.
Would you rather have a full major league? I mean, so I don't mean major league. Would you rather have a major league season or the conclusion of the NBA?
NBA.
Oh, conclusion of the NBA.
Me too.
Yeah.
So personally, selfishly, it's Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, me too. The Bruins, for this core, for Chara and Bergeron and Krejci and Rask, who's talking about retiring soon, this is it. This is your last kick at the can.
They're right there. They have a chance to win the cup. So that doesn't come along, as you know, that doesn't come along very often. I know they've had a few cracks at it here. But no, to me, the most important thing for me personally, selfishly, I'm a hockey fan. I'm still a Bruins fan, despite that owner. Is the Bruins with another chance to win a Stanley Cup?
Well, yeah, and Mike, I'm sorry. It's also the let's face it, we've said this a million times, the NHL playoffs is the best product going. Now the problem is that it's still regional and there are a lot of places that don't give a rat's ass, but the product is insanely good. It's off the charts. It's riveting stuff every single night.
So what do you do there? Is there a Vegas equivalent? I don't know why I always think of Lake Placid. You've been up there several times for your kids' tournaments, right, Maz? Is that a building you could have a little TV show in?
Yeah, so someone emailed this in earlier in the week, and it's a good idea. You know, they have there's an international rink up there, and so they wouldn't be able to use that one. That's the 1980 rink.
Right. Oh, so that's still an Olympic sheet.
It is. And the other one is, I think, too, which is 1932 or one of those years in the 30s. So there were two Olympic-sized rinks up there. They have some other ones that they could use. But I can tell you, the NHL players are not going to like those hotels up there. Like right. You're talking about cut out of 1975. They're great for families and kids. They're fine. But the NHL players will not like it.
Okay, forget Lake Placid. They can't play on an Olympic sheet. But I just think, you know, but there's some still a form of like Olympic Village there, Maz, or some sort of how, I mean, I don't know. That's so long ago.
No, there are enough little B&Bs and small hotels. And Mike, there are regulation rinks up there, NHL rinks. There aren't necessarily, you know, there are Olympic sheets, but there are other ones too. They just wouldn't be able to use the Olympic ones.
I don't know why I just thought of that. But, you know, is there a hockey equivalent that you could go to and stage a tournament? You know, I mean, so. I mean, I'm sure up in Canada, in Toronto, there's probably got to be three or four places in Toronto by itself that you would go do it. But I don't think that works as well for hockey. They don't have that big TV revenue. They don't have a foreign country like China that generates huge revenue for them. They need the fans in the stands. They need the ticket revenue. But again, if it means not having the Stanley Cup playoffs and having it, I'm still going to do it. And I hope they do it. It's just not as easy for them as it is for basketball. All right, so there's that topic. Your questions and calls on everything right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Man.
That's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Nobody wants to think about the worst side, but this is what comes across your desk. Obviously, you'd have to consider the worst-case doomsday scenario as well. And I think we've all thought about it. I mean, what if this goes on for 6 months or something? And then what happens? What does a worst case look like? Is it a season without baseball, Rob?
Obviously, we're not in control of that worst-case scenario. I think that if, in fact, the situation with respect to the virus is such that it's not safe to resume play, play, whether it's in alternate sites, empty stadiums, whatever it is, we have to accept that as a reality. It would be a tremendous hardship. It'd be a hardship for our fans, be a hardship for our players, and you know, frankly, it'd be a huge economic hardship for our owners. It would be a real tragedy. But the one thing I know for sure is baseball will be back. Whenever it's safe to play, we'll be back. Our fans will be back. Our players will be back. And we will be part of the recovery, the healing in this country from this particular pandemic.
There's Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred. Baseball owners and players have reached an agreement in terms of, well, guidelines to coming back. They won't come back unless the following conditions are met. And the first one I still find confusing. They will not come back unless there are no bans on mass gatherings that would limit the ability to play in front of fans. However, the commissioner could still consider the use of appropriate substitute neutral sites where economically feasible. Like, that part I get, and they should. Like, I'd love the idea of the spring training sites if the season goes deep into November, December. Like, I'm good with that. But are they saying that they're not going to come back unless they can play in front of fans? And if that's what they're saying, I think that's a mistake. Why not try and play the games and recoup your TV money? You're going to lose a lot of money on the gate, but why lose the TV money too? I don't get that.
Yeah, you can't just be thinking tank it just because we don't have fans. That's the wrong way to be looking at this right now.
Well, and especially, Mike, because the regional sports networks are such a big part of baseball's revenue, right? Like, if you can put the programming on, then by all means, go ahead and do it.
So I don't know exactly what they're saying there. Are they just using that as some sort of litmus test? If the government says large gatherings, then we'll stage these games, and we may not have fans in them, but that's just sort of how we'll gauge it. We'll know that it's safe to come back when they say mass gatherings are okay, and then we'll decide whether to have mass gatherings or not. But if they're just doing it like that, that's fine. But if they're saying we're not going to play in empty buildings, then I think that's a mistake. Play the games if you can. All right, to your phones, on everything, as promised. Tommy and Stoneham. Go ahead, Tommy.
Hey, listen, guys, I love you. Just right now, I got to say that, you know, playing in front of nobody, I mean, you look back 4 years ago with the Orioles and White Sox, I mean, yeah, you go to, like, the guy doing the golf commentary. You know, you hear the crack of the bat and there's no one there. Like, I hear you guys 100% with that because, I mean, we want to go to the games, but we can't. But
Tommy, are you saying you'd rather have no games? Are you saying you'd rather have no games if they're playing in front of nobody?
Well, no, I like, honestly.
Okay, I'm sorry to cut you off, but just fine.
It's an awkward viewing experience. Okay, fine.
There's the option. Yeah. No games or empty buildings. Do we all want fans there? Of course! Like, Tommy, I don't mean to yell at you, but like, duh, yes, I don't want to hear an empty bat crack in an empty stadium either. Who does? If the only choice is empty building or no games, what are you picking?
I'll take an empty building rather than nothing.
It's not even close.
Me too.
Good Lord.
See if you can also sign a deal with some of the streaming services and play music during it if it feels that awkward and you feel like it's unwatchable.
Right, like just do what they do in hockey. Blast the crap out of the music, you know, in the breaks. You won't even know that there's fans there or not. Just blast the stupid freaking Guns N' Roses stuff that you do, you know, while they're dropping the puck. I mean, anything to get sports back on my TV, and I just from a personal selfish level, anything to get Captain Underpants off my television and a ball game back on there, I will take. Greg and Lynn, go ahead, Greg. Greg! Okay, we're taking calls. You got to pay attention. Take us off your TV or radio, however you're watching us. Listen to us. Anthony and Medford, go.
Hey, what's up, Mike? I was just thinking, going back, and everybody's point of view, Bills, Drafts and Tom Brady, just comes down to Brady choosing Tampa Bay. I mean, please, he could have came back to here. Maybe he would have been sucked. But going to Tampa Bay, their offensive line and power rankers was 29th because they keep saying he's got all these weapons. He could have came back here on the ha-ha tour. You know what I mean? I just can't believe Tampa Bay and nobody else freaking was asked for him. You know, they've talked about the
I'll stop you, Anthony. I'm disappointed in the league, too. But in the court of public opinion, does it make Brady look worse leaving here, the fact that he chose Tampa Bay, Mass?
Yes, absolutely it does. And again, now look, there are going to be fans that defend Brady no matter what. And I get it. I get their allegiance to him. But it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's not, you know, let's not all of a sudden change the storyline. And I go back to the starting line. Okay, and I say, when this thing started, of all the places we listed, where was Tampa Bay on the list? And the answer, it wasn't on the list. It didn't even make the list. Nobody really thought about Tampa Bay until all of a sudden someone said, oh, you know, until Bruce Arians opened his mouth, really. No one thought that they were a viable option for Brady, that he would ever go there.
So I absolutely think it makes him look worse. It's like, you know, in the court of public opinion here, it's like, what are you leaving for? Like, well, I thought it was just about football and just about winning. If it's just about football and it's just about winning, why are you in freaking Tampa Bay? Derek in Foxborough. Go ahead, Derek, you're up next.
Yeah, you know, I think some sports, you know, you could do it without fans, hockey, baseball. But the NBA, I mean, you guys have talked about this in the past. Home court advantage, I mean, that's a huge part of the product. That's a huge part of the game. You know, they play all season to get that game seven on their home floor, and to basically turn these into neutral site games, I think you're just diluting the product too much. You'd have to put an asterisk next to it, and you know, I just don't think it would work.
So don't have it, cancel it.
If that's, I don't want to see a diluted product.
Okay,
I do.
Why would it be diluted? Can I just say, why would it be diluted? In fact, see, again, this is where about the mindset, it makes all the difference here. So we always complain about the officiating in the NBA. How many times do we sit there and say, oh, they totally benefit the home team? The fact that the officials bend to the home team is a joke. It helps ruin the league. It's one of the big problems with it. Well, now, at least as an experiment. Don't we get to take that out? Isn't that sort of the whole fun of it?
Oh, it might be a better product, but it won't be a true NBA product because of it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it is, you know, you play all season to get the home court, to get the calls in game seven, and now you're not going to have it. But again, obviously, Derek, it's not as pure of a, and you know, what it may be more pure to Maz's point, but it's not the NBA that we've come to know. But what are you going to, so your option is that or nothing? Give me that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what we're talking about here. There's no use debating that you'd rather have fans. Of course you'd rather have fans. Would you rather have that or Captain Underpants? That's the question. Eric and Franklin. Go, Eric.
Yeah, I like Dora the Explorer.
What is Captain Underpants anyways?
I'm my 8-year-old. It's on my TV constantly.
Okay. Hey, recent retiree from your sponsor. Too much time on my hands to listen to you guys now, but the question about the league, Major League Baseball, if they delete interleague, how many games would that save?
Okay, so interleague, like
somewhere around 18. I think it's around 18 games that they play in interleague.
Okay, like to me, that's just it's a non-factor. To me, what's going to get trimmed is not interleague necessarily, but West Coast. You know, if the long flights and the long road trips, I mean, maybe it just becomes more of a regional schedule to make it easier on everybody. But I wouldn't care about, you know, the ALNL. Like, who cares about that anymore?
Oh, I don't care about it at all. Maybe he's just looking at it from a standpoint of, you know, purifying the competition, right? So that teams are playing the same schedule in a shorter period of time. It at least gives you some level of integrity as far as, you know, who makes the playoffs and who doesn't. But honestly, I don't care where they chop off the games. I will enjoy baseball more with fewer games.
Your wonderful phone calls continue right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
We're talking about getting these leagues back and playing in front of no fans if possible and creating a bubble, a quarantine bubble, so it's safe for them to do so, and doing everything we can to get these games back just for our selfish purposes, but it's also business. I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars are at stake with these TV deals. You want to write refund checks? Or, you know, these players want to make their money. These owners want to make their money. So how do you do it? You salvage everything you can. So you salvage the TV product. And, you know, we talked about the NBA looking to go to Vegas, playing in the buildings that they play the summer league games in, shutting them off to fans and inviting all the teams there and having a tournament there and finishing off the season like that. I'd be down with that if the option was nothing on the other side of it. Maz dropped a little something, a little hint there before, like he got a buzz on his Apple Watch or something. Right. Maz, what do you know?
So, I told you earlier that I think that some of the leagues are just communicating with one another about what the scenarios are. So, because again, remember, we talk about this idea of a bubble, going to a more remote area that is not as affected by the virus and maybe really affected minimally, and being able to play there. If there are only so many bubbles, these teams are going to have to coordinate. So the point being is that they apparently, from what I understand, they've discussed a scenario in which, like, I'll use Omaha, Nebraska as an example, because apparently Omaha has hockey rinks. Okay, I didn't know that. But, you know, aside from basketball arenas and hockey rinks, teams could go there for multiple sports, and they'd be able to effectively host these little communities where they're able to play games. And so you'd have hockey games going on there. You'd have basketball games in multiple arenas. And from akin to what they do in the World Cup, if you remember when the World Cup was here in the mid-90s, Mike, there were games going on in Foxborough. There were games going on in Chicago. They were sort of all over the United States. And so it'd be a similar type of concept. And then I've even heard that what they would do in some of these towns is, using Boston as an example, the Celtics and the Bruins, if they were to go, and they did it this way, would be in the same hotel. They'd put the Boston people in one hotel and kind of quarantine Boston that way. Hmm. And the Boston teams would both be in Omaha. And now, I don't know that it's going to turn out that way. There are a lot of, obviously, moving pieces in this sort of thing. But I think they're exploring all kinds of options. And I do think there is a level of integration going on between the leagues, other than the NFL, which is sort of operating in a vacuum.
Well, that's cool. So you put the city teams in the same building.
Yeah.
And that's a... And that's for medical reasons, Mass. That's for
I think that would be part of it. Yeah, that would be part of it. And that way, in the event there is some sort of infection, I guess, that you would then limit it to the people from the same city. And so it wouldn't spill out, then you wouldn't have this chain reaction again, which we are obviously experiencing in the public as a civilization right now all over the world.
Well, I'm into all this stuff.
Yeah, crazy, yeah. Right? Crazy. I mean, but it's creative stuff. It's creative thinking.
Maz, does that include baseball? Because they have the College World Series there. They have that relatively new ballpark. That's awesome.
So, Murray, I think it includes all the sports. Now, what I don't know is, can one city host all four? You follow me? In other words, could Omaha have, because apparently the MLS is involved in this too, could one city host all four, or do you have to have a minimum of two or three in order to be able to consider this? But I think when you factor all of that stuff in, that it would be, you know, you'd have to be a bubble city. You'd have to have multiple venues for multiple sports.
Yep.
That the options become really limited, and there are only a handful of places in the country where you could do it. But I heard it and I went, oh, that's interesting. Like, that's a creative concept.
Just thinking out loud, like Indianapolis would be another town. You could hermetically seal that town. It's like, it's all, you know, walkways and skywalks. Minneapolis is another one. But Indy, you know, conventions, convention centers, skywalks. Like, you just turn us into a bunch of hamsters.
Right.
And we're all just sort of hamsters running around a hamster cage, playing ball in one part of the cage and then playing hockey in another part of the cage. And you hermetically seal everything off. And you just put a couple hundred people in that hamster cage and let them play ball and televise the whole thing. And, you know, that's how you do it.
Yeah, no, look, and again, some of these facilities aren't quote-unquote big league facilities.
Who cares?
But typically that, and when I say that, I mean typically that relates to seating capacity more than anything else. You could certainly do your best to make the playing conditions for all these teams as good as possible, and then at least there is something to, you know, for the entertainment value for the fan.
Okay. I hope they're working on this stuff because, frankly, what else would they be doing?
Right.
What else would these leagues and these guys be doing? So concoct something. Come up with something. Try and salvage whatever you can salvage. I'm in favor of it. All right, back to your phones on everything. Jason in Bedford on this topic. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, first time, long time. So I guess it's not technically a sport, but I had tickets to this year's WrestleMania, and they obviously canceled people going there, but like attending, but they're still having it, and they're still airing their weekly shows in front of no crowd, which is kind of awkward, but, you know, they're still making that money, so...
I mean, and leave it to them. Let me just real quick. Alec in Tewksbury, follow up on WrestleMania.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to piggyback on that. Just curious as to what Jay Stu thought they were going to do since Roman backed out, what direction they were going to go with the whole Goldberg match, and how involved would they really make Gronkowski now? Would they make him more of a spectacle in this since they're kind of losing out on, you know, I guess not viewership, but they're losing out on potential viewership with this, you know, with the way that they're trying to do it.
Okay, go ahead, Stu.
So they've already filmed it. They've already taped it. They did a skit with Gronkowski already, according to stuff that's on the internet.
A skit? Are you implying this isn't real? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go.
Sports entertainment, pal. Of course it's real. So they did a bit with Gronkowski doing something. I think I know what it is. I don't want to ruin it for people, but they taped all this. They replaced Roman Reigns, who had to medically disqualify himself because he has a compromised immune system, and WWE Medical wouldn't disqualify him for God knows why, what reason. The guy's recovering from leukemia. He should be disqualified from all. He should have stayed home through all of this.
And they made him show up?
Yeah.
Wrestling.
It's a brutal business.
But they're, you know, leave it to wrestling and MMA. They're like pushing ahead, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're still staging events and trying to get it done. I mean, they're going a little too far in the other direction, but I have no problem with these other leagues trying to get it done.
They're
going to
ruin it for everybody, Mike. They're going to ruin your real sports.
So that's my fear, that the WWE closed it all off, tried to hold this event in a bubble, and apparently people have gotten sick or have gotten upset that they were forced to come in, and there's a little bit of a to-do there in the wrestling world. And that if they ruin it for these other leagues trying to do it in a bubble, that would piss me off. That would piss me off because they were just...
Well, they could be looked at as the example. See, we can't do this.
Exactly. You know, so. Right. I can't have that.
But I don't know. Maybe the WWE medical team should be transparent with its performers if there is an issue with a performer, instead of trying to make them work through a little bit of a temperature and deeming it a little bit of a temperature.
Okay. More on this on Jimmy's wrestling podcast.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes. We're taping Sunday night. It'll be out there on Monday.
98.5thesportshub.com and the app. Corey in Westport on the Patriots. Go ahead, Corey.
You're welcome.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I got a question about Belichick not picking up a quarterback yet. You think he's staying with Stidham because he wants to tank next year and possibly get a shot at Trevor Lawrence?
No. No, I don't. I don't think so. I think he thinks he can win with Stidham. That's what I hope. That's what I hope.
Feels that way to me.
I mean, don't tell me we're tanking. That's stupid. I don't think Bill's tanking. He's got too much on the line. And the team's still too good, and the division still blows too much, and he's still good of a coach. It's not going to work. If he's trying to tank, it's not going to work, frankly.
Right, just quick, like, looking at it right now, and say Stidham's the starter. Who's the best quarterback in the AFC East? Maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick? Stidham?
I mean, Darnold should be,
oh,
but...
he's a mess, though. They've ruined him.
But the coach is going to ruin him, and that team and that town's going to ruin him. And so, I mean, it might be. You still might have the best quarterback in the division. You might.
It
ain't possible.
Josh Allen. He stinks.
It's possible you'll have the best quarterback in the division again this year. So I'm hoping they're passing on Newton and everybody else because Stidham's the guy and they believe in that. Don't tell me it's because they're trying to tank it. You know, that I would not accept. But I think they believe in the kid.
Yeah, win never for Trevor.
We continue with your thoughts in our long commercial-free segment right after this.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
A 98.5 to Sports Hub.
Hi, Tom. Congratulations.
Thanks, Karen. I'm going to miss you.
I'll miss you, too. When in your mind did you officially cut the cord with the Patriots, and how hard was it to tell Robert and the Patriots you were moving on?
It was really, you know, the night that I had stopped by and seen, I spoke with Mr. Kraft and asked if I could come over and see him. And we spoke and we had a great conversation, you know, and I just wanted to express, you know, what he's meant to me in my life. And we spoke with Coach Belichick at the same time. We were at different locations, so we talked to him, and it was a great conversation. And got a chance to talk to Jonathan Kraft as well. And, you know, all three of those guys have been involved in so many important decisions in my life, but career-related, personal-related. And, you know, I leave there with just great admiration for the people in that organization. And it's a world-class, first-class organization in every way. And I wanted to leave it that way, too. So I know the Patriots have a great team. They always do. They have great players, great leadership, great coaches. And, you know, I certainly wish them the best. But for me, you know, I've got to transition and focus on the opportunity that I have to, you know, make the current situation I'm in as best I possibly can. And, you know, they hired me to do a job here, and I'm going to go in there and do it like you've always seen me do for a long time, like, you know, the fans have always seen me do, like opposing coaches, my teammates have seen me do. And I'm going to give it everything I got, like I've done everything in my life for as long as I've been playing this sport.
Agenda Free Friday continues. That was one of the better cuts from Tom Brady in his press conference this week. In Tampa, first words, first comments as a official member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if you can still believe it. We have some fresh MVP odds. I know we did this last week, and we sort of made them up as we went along, and now there's more official odds. Why don't we do this with the DraftKings Bet of the Week?
This is the DraftKings Bet of the Week.
So, Murray, don't give me where you got these odds. These are the Felger Mavs big board odds, okay?
Yeah, gotcha.
And DraftKings helping us out with this.
All right, yeah. So, Patrick Mahomes, unsurprisingly, you know, less than a few months removed from leading the Chiefs to their first Super Bowl win in 50 years. He's the favorite, followed by...
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to...
You want the odds for Mahomes?
Yeah, place a bet. Go ahead.
All right, Mahomes...
What's the best bet?
Plus 350.
Yep.
Followed by Lamar Jackson, quarterback of the Ravens, at plus 600. At third on this list, Russell Wilson, quarterback of the Seahawks, plus 800. Fourth, Deshaun Watson, quarterback of the Houston Texans, plus 1,400. And coming in at five would be new Bucs quarterback Tom Brady with plus 1,600 odds.
Hmm. So he's ahead of...
Breeze, Prescott, Wentz, Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Murray, can I ask quickly again, what are the odds on Russell Wilson one more time?
Plus 800.
Plus 800.
Plus 800, all right.
Murray, is my guy in Arizona, he's so my guy that I've now forgotten his name.
Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray, where's he at?
He's tied with Carson Wentz and Aaron Rodgers at right around 8, plus 2,500.
Okay, place your bet. What's your best bet?
Russell Wilson, plus 800. That's what I would go with.
I'll go Brady or Rodgers. I think those are the best odds. I like the odds on those guys.
Okay, Rodgers at plus 2,500 might be the best value on the board. I think that's right. And you said Brady, Maz?
Yep. I think that, again, I like the, to me, part of the, you know, picking Mahomes is easy. I mean, that's a good one, but the payoff's not great, so I like the payoff on Brady better.
Okay, I like the payoff on Kyler Murray, and I think second year in the system, now he's got DeAndre Hopkins, second year in the league, that's the big jump year, et cetera, et cetera. I'll go Kyler Murray from the pack. At 2,500 to win the NFL MVP.
It's not that bad considering what Lamar Jackson just did in his second year in winning the MVP. So I can understand. It's a good bet. But those, some of the weapons that they just added with the Seahawks for Russell Wilson too, like, I don't know. I mean, I know that's not big, big money, but at plus 800, third on this list, I would take that.
Okay. Download the DraftKings app now. Enter code SportsHub during sign up to try DraftKings for free. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Not a ton of sports going on out there, but there are still things to bet on. So go check it out. If you're that
horny, hard up to place a bet, and I'm not saying that like it's a bad thing. I've been in that boat many, many times. Again, go to DraftKings and or download the DraftKings app. Back to your phones here on an agenda-free Friday. Here's Nick in Easton on the Patriots. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Since it seems like Cam's real hungry to kind of prove himself, get back to that MVP form, would you guys take him on like a team-friendly one-year prove-it deal?
Yep. You know,
would him and Bill be successful together?
And when I say team-friendly, Nick, I mean a theft. I mean like highway robbery. I keep saying under $5 million. Because to me, the big condition there is that I'm not hitching my wagon to Cam Newton. I don't want to hitch my wagon to Cam Newton. I do want to take advantage of a tremendous value and an MVP talent for nothing that I just get to plug in. Like, that's a hard thing to, like, to me, that would be a hard thing to pass up. So it's got to be a complete steal, but under those conditions, yes, I would do it.
I'm a no. I just think you're living in the past with that guy. We're 5 years removed from that MVP. He's taken too much of a beating. And how much does he even really care about football at this point, too? I would question that. Is it about the fashion or is it about football?
I'm sorry, Murray. To me, the question concerns the readiness of Jarrett Stidham. If Belichick thinks Stidham is ready to play or he'll be ready halfway through the season, then my answer is no, because Newton will create an obstacle there, and I don't want that. But if Stidham is a year away like Garoppolo was in the second season, because Garoppolo didn't play till year three, then to me, yeah, go get Newton and see if he can win the division and make the playoffs.
JP in North Providence. Go ahead, JP.
I'm here, Felger.
Go ahead.
This may be out of the box or out of my mind. I'm not sure. I just checked the temperature in seven major cities in Canada in the low 40s. Why not take CFL stadiums, drop some ice in there like they did at Notre Dame and play hockey there?
Okay, well, I'd prefer not to play outdoor hockey. To me, I'd rather play on the bad ice in the middle of the summer at the Garden than play in a football stadium, and because I think those games are just so much slower than indoor games, even on bad ice. So I'm not playing in, you know, I'm not playing at the Tiger Cat Stadium in BC. But there's got to be. I mean, you know, Maz, you brought up Omaha, Nebraska. Like, that's a good one. That's a big college town with like a lot of infrastructure for big events and like that. But if it just hockey, if you just want to create that bubble environment with a couple of rinks and in a town that's small enough to sort of contain a bunch of quarantined people, there's got to be a half day, you know, Moose Ball, Saskatchewan. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just got to be a million places up in Canada that have that sort of dynamic.
So what I would ask the caller is, if we're going to go to Canada and take their football stadium, why wouldn't we just take the hockey rinks?
Yeah, we don't need their football stadiums.
Right. Like, just to go and play in the hockey rinks if you're worried about, you know, overpopulation. I mean, they have plenty of space up there for the number of people.
But
if that's the idea, I'd just as soon take the rinks.
But something that's neutral, you can put a rink in it. That Olympic Stadium is still there in Montreal. Granted, it's a dump, but it's not like you're going to have fans there.
Yeah, that place is a hellhole. But it's a hellhole.
It sucks. But in Toronto and Montreal, they must have dozens of cool little rinks, 2,000-seat rink. I mean, hell, they're probably banging a couple thousand people for the freaking Bantam games that are probably tight, cool, nice little buildings that you could it's just a TV set. That's all we're looking for, right, is a TV set in this regard. And Canada's got to have it. They have to.
That would be perfect in a lot of ways.
Justin in Brockton. Hi, Justin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for doing the show. I appreciate it, you guys doing it. I'm quarantining right now. But what I'm talking about is, like, I get it. We all want the sports. We all miss it. Like, I've been watching classic sports and stuff. But, okay, let's just say the Bruins, the Celtics win, or whoever wins. Then you know there's going to be idiots in either city, wherever it is across the country. They're going to storm out there because the liquor stores are open. We all know that. And there's going to be idiots. Then what happens then? I'm going to shut up and listen.
Well, it's the apocalypse. It'll be like Mad Max. It'll be just like, you know, people just...
Tell the cops to get out the nightsticks.
Wantonly rioting in the streets and it'll just be open warfare.
Yeah.
But if that's the cost of playing some ball, I'll play some ball.
Try to storm the stadium and get in, you're getting the nightstick.
Shouldn't that be the least of our issues?
The
championship celebration? Not worried about it. It's worried about getting the ball games going off first. Chris Gasper standing by. He'll come and join us in our Town Fair Tire Studios on Agenda Free Friday next. It's a quick update with Murray. No commercials, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.